Amen. Can y'all hear me? Amen. All right. Well, don't worry about your test you just take. If you were loving the Lord Jesus, you passed. Amen. Now we're going to have this special fellowship for about 25 to 30 minutes about the FTTA, the full-time training in Anaheim. If you have never heard of or just know a little bit about the training, raise your hand. If you never heard or just know a little bit. Okay. Well, this fellowship is for you. And all those who know about the training, can you raise your hands? Okay, that's a lot. Well, guess what? This fellowship is also for you. Amen. How about the high school seniors and the freshmen in college? Raise your hands. Okay, guess what? This message is especially for you. It's never too early to consider going to the full-time training. Well, the full-time training in Anaheim is also known as the Living Stream Bible Truth and Church Service Training. It was established in 1989 by Brother Witness Lee. You know, this two-year program is not a theological school. It's not a divinity school. The people who go to this program are not trying to become pastors. They're not trying to become big spiritual giants. This two-year program is for young, seeking Christians who are pursuing Christ. And this program helps them to grow in the divine life by exercising our spirit. Amen. To experience the Lord. It helps you to be constituted with the truths in the Bible, being filled with the Word of God. It also develops our spiritual capacities, like preaching the gospel and being fruitful. It also helps cultivate proper character so we can be useful to the Lord. You know, I recently finished reading this book called The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. Has anyone read that or heard that before? You know, when I first, on the title, on the front of it, it says The Normal Christian Life. But what I read in my mind was The Normal Super Christian Life. I was hoping to be some sort of super Christian who would be overcoming all the time. I thought in this book would help me with some methods, some practices, that I would never succumb to temptation again. I'll be some super Christian. Well, that's not what that book is at all. It starts off actually with this question of what is the difference between an average Christian and a normal Christian? You know, if we took all the Christians in the world and we saw their spiritual life, and took the average of that, that would be the average of, you know, the Christians on earth. But a normal Christian is what a Christian should be. A normal Christian is the standard which we should be living even in our college years. A normal Christian is just someone who loves the Lord. So that's just like the training. We're not, the people who go there aren't going there to be super Christians. They're just being there to be normal. They want to be normal Christians living a normal Christian life. And so the last chapter of that book is called The Goal of the Gospel. And, you know, you would think it would be called The Need to Preach the Gospel, right? A normal Christian should preach the gospel. But it says, as a normal Christian, there's a goal for the gospel. And what this goal is it talks about Mary in Matthew 26, pouring out her love offering to the Lord before he went to the cross. You know, being a normal Christian, like I said, is just one who loves the Lord. And they would waste themselves upon the Lord with all that they have. And so we have some trainees who are currently in the training, some who have graduated, who would like to share their experiences of truth, getting the word into them, share some experiences of growing in life, share some experiences of going on the gospel and being fruitful, and also share how they got to the training and how each one of us can be a normal Christian, loving the Lord, giving our 2 years to the Lord. And so we're going to start with Sam here, who's going to talk about how he experienced the truth in the Bible.
Hi, trainees. My name is Sam. I came from the Philippines, and I'm now an international student in the FTTA, and I'm entering to my fourth term this fall and graduating this December. One of the outstanding aspects of the training that I appreciate the most was the matter of the truth. So in my entire college years, I am actually, I'm interested and I read the Bible regularly, and as well as the ministry books that we had that was presented to us the other day. But coming to the training, I realized that what I had in college was just like pieces of puzzles here and there. Like, I enjoy this part, I enjoy this portion. But when I came to the training provide a kind of framework, a kind of structure that brings all the truth together for us to see one clear vision, one big picture for us to govern our Christian life. And this framework is done through classes. So every week, the FTTA gives us around 10 to 11 classes for us to receive major truths in the scriptures. And along this line, I'm supplementing these classes. We also have study times for us to do our reading assignments with our textbooks for our classes. And if you finish 2 years of this program, what you will get is over 2,000 hours of study time in the ministry book and in studying the Bible. And you might say, oh, Sam, I could study the Bible for 2,000 hours outside of training. Well, I personally feel that 2,000 hours of studying the Bible in the training is very different from 2,000 hours studying the Bible outside the training. Because in the training, you are studying with 400 other believers who are seeking the same thing as you do. And you may be reading the same book, you may be listening to the same messages, but each one is spoken, each one receives different portion of grace by the Lord. And when people come together, there will be a rich exhibition of the breadth, length, height, and depth of our Lord Jesus. And what I realize and what I'm impressed the most is that when I get this truth into me, it becomes a healing, a supply, and a nourishment to me. Sometimes there are just some days we think that life is a bed of roses, and actually it's not. And even 2 years in the training, it's not a bed of roses too. So there are some days that I just don't want to get out of bed, and I don't feel like going to classes. But when I go to class, just sitting down as I'm listening to the trainers dispensing the riches of the truth to us, I feel like I am just healed. I feel I am supplied. I feel that I am refreshed. So there was one point in my training life where I feel like I just want to stop. You know, I just want to be zoned out. But there was one paragraph in the ministry, in the life study of Hebrews that I read that healed me. And I just want to read it to you. It says, the best way to go on is to forget everything. Once we forget everything, we shall go on. We may spend much time to consider our environment, our past, our future, yet we will not spend an hour in going on. Consider the runners in a race. While they are running, they have no time to think of anything else. They only know one thing, running the race. So isn't this the ministry just can heal our entire being? And as what other people have shared to me, a paragraph a day in the ministry, what did it say? Takes the devil away. So thank you for the truth in the... I thank the Lord that I can study the truth in the training.
Amen. Samuel had a wonderful experience of getting into the truth. For 2,000 hours, well, I guess not yet, with the other 400 trainees who love the Lord. And he's also healed by not only his time in the Word, but also through the speaking, through the brothers in the classes. So now Brian is going to speak more about his experiences of growing in life.
Hallelujah, I'm Brian. I graduated from UCLA, and I also graduated from the training. Hallelujah. Like Samuel shared, 2,000 hours of the truth will make you grow in life. Really, for the purpose of one of the purposes of the training is that you to build out the trainees in Christ, in the growth of his life, unto maturity. Don't you want to grow in life unto maturity?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But when Christ wants to grow in us, what is hindering him is ourselves. Most of the time, the Lord wants to grow, but my own self-improvement, my own goody-goody church kid characteristics blocking from coming in. The Lord wants to gain the whole heart. Like, he wants to make home in all our heart. So as a brother, as Sam shared, we had classes in the morning, and when the brother who shared, they are called the trainers, when they share, there's just so much light there. And sometimes I wonder, what do you, when we share about you need to be pruned, right? But what do you need to be pruned? I don't know what it may prove. I'm a good, you know, I'm a good Christian. But as I went all the training, there's so much light there. I just being exposed by the shining light by the brothers. With the truth being expounded, with the brothers speaking, they're just shining a light. Even this week, don't you feel there's more shining of light here? There's more of you being exposed. But also, you turn to the Lord after being exposed. So when the brother was sharing on the line of life, resulting in the New Jerusalem, and the line of the knowledge of truth, of good and evil, resulting in the Great Babylon, he shared the verse, Revelation 17:4. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and gilded with gold. This word gilded means that it's a thin layer of gold, not being overlaid completely with a thick amount of gold. And gold in the Bible typifies God's divine nature. So if we're being filled with God, we're being filled with gold. But I feel like as a brother spoke such a word, I feel like my Christian life, I just try to gild myself with gold. Cover myself with God, but inwardly, I'm just full of myself. I'm not being dealt with completely yet by the Lord. So after hearing such a word, I went back to the Lord and kind of many conversations with Him. It was hard at first. Maybe in the beginning, there was a lot of struggling. But eventually, I took the blood, the fellowship was restored, and the life came in. Amen. I was so glad for the Lord speaking through that word, through the brother speaking. So if you want more life, come to the training. Amen. Amen.
Maybe Lisa can start coming up, but just to highlight some of Brian's experience, you know, that the training is an atmosphere where God, who is light, can shine. And through His light, we're pruned and we can grow in life. So now Lisa will talk about her experiences of going on the gospel and fruit bearing.
So my name is Lisa Dina. I just finished the FTTA. So one of the definitions of training is that in training, we get to put into practice the things that we have heard. So just like in this training, the college training, in the full-time training, we have many messages about fruit-bearing and about the gospel. But actually, we get to put into practice immediately the things that we've heard. Actually, I remember after my first regular week in the full-time training, we just had a Lord's Table meeting, and I was sitting there expecting a time of prayer or fellowship. But our trainer brother turned around, and he looked at us trainees, and he said, "Okay, now you can go preach the gospel." We know we looked at each other. We didn't know what to do. We'd never, you know, hardly ever done this before. But there's this verse in Matthew 9 where the Lord talks about thrust out the workers into the harvest. So the training is a wonderful opportunity to be thrust out. Amen. So I was thrust out that first Lord's Day, and many times after that, regardless of how I felt or whether I wanted to go or not, I was thrust into the harvest again. But, you know, we've been hearing so many messages this week about fruit bearing. And I remember when I also went to the college training, I had such a burden and such a desperation to get into these things. But sometimes we need to be thrust out. So I feel like it was such a privilege. And after 2 years in the training, my true feeling is that I gained a priceless initiation and a jump start into just having a normal life of fruit bearing. So I wanted to share with you a tremendous footnote that I found in the book of Revelation. So in Revelation chapter 4, you have a universal scene. There's the one sitting on the throne. There's 24 angels around him. And they are clothed in priestly garments, and they have a kingly crown on their head. So you could say that these ones are like a royal priesthood. And you might have heard that, you know, even our function in the gospel is a royal priesthood. But something happens in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "The 24 elders will fall before him who sits upon the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and they will cast their crowns before the throne." So why do they cast their crowns before the throne? It's because the redeemed man who has been perfected and glorified to properly function as priests and kings. So now these angels resign. They cast their crowns because they've resigned, and they just praise the one on the throne. So what this shows is that there's a universal scene, and actually even a universal awaiting. God is waiting for us to fulfill His heart's desire that we would function as priests and kings. As kings, we bring God to man. As priests, we bring man to God. So the training is just to help prepare us to function as priests and kings.
Amen. The training is a wonderful place to be thrust out to fulfill God's desire. We not only get to hear about these truths and the gospel, but we actually get to practice it in the training. So now we'd like to transition to how some have gotten to the training, and we'll start with Miles and he'll share his experience.
Praise the Lord for the training.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the college training.
Amen.
I went to 3 college trainings as an undergrad. My name is Miles Missler. I just finished my first year in the full-time training, and I'll be going on to my second year. I went to college at UCLA. And I grew up in a Christian family, but I lived rather a godless life. And it wasn't until my freshman year of college where there was a definite seeking to meet with other believers. And so I found myself at UCLA. I met a group of saints in a Christian club. And over my time there, I gradually came into the church life. And after coming to the church life, I heard some things about the full-time training in Anaheim. We even had a few full-time trainees that came onto our campus. And when I first heard about it, I didn't think it was for me. You know, I thought that it wouldn't be so good for my career, and I didn't want to be a pastor or anything like that. So I thought it would be good for other people, but not for myself. And so over my time at school, the Lord was attracting me more and more, and I saw my fellow crazy lovers of Jesus being drawn off to the training. And even brothers that I thought would never go, you know, brothers that that I thought just weren't brothers that go to the training. And it made me reconsider, you know, Lord, what about the training, you know? And even as they went on, I decided to visit them. I decided to go and see for myself. And so I did a short visit of about 3 days. It's what they call short-terming. And I saw the training, you know, I saw how they get into the Word, how they have this tremendous speaking all the time, and it really made me open to the Lord and even reconsider more. But I would say that it was times like this, being in these college trainings, where we're receiving visions from God, and we're getting to the matters of exercising our spirit, and also the need of fruit bearing that really drew me to the Lord and even opened to Him about the matter of being trained. Especially in my last few years, I saw that I needed more vision. I saw that I needed help to exercise my spirit, and also I needed a lot of practice to bear fruit. And what better place than go to the full-time training? So the Lord spoke to me in His Word in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, where it talks about a man making a vow to Jehovah. And so a vow is something not like a promise to do something, but rather it's voluntary, and you give it to the Lord in a definite and particular way. And then He has the final decision on whether it happens or not. And so I told the Lord, Lord, I vow to go to the full-time training unless You stop me. And I would just say, if any of you have a little feeling in your heart, just a little feeling that the Lord might be speaking to you right now, I would just go to Him and pray that same prayer. Lord, I'm going to the training unless You stop me. Praise the Lord. And after 1 year, I can testify that it's wonderful. Being in the full-time training, I'm so glad I'm here, and I'm looking forward to my last year.
Miles had no intention to go to the training, but he saw his companions going. He went to experience it for himself, and now he's enjoying a year's worth so far in the training. So now Nuria is going to talk about her experience.
Hi, Saints. My name is Nuria. I got a bachelor's degree in nursing, and I just finished my first term in the full-time training. I wasn't born into the church life. I took to church life in elementary school, made it to a sixth grade conference, prayed to receive the Lord, and was baptized. Didn't really meet consistently, though, until my college years. So I had a huge turn to the Lord when I finished high school, and I went to a young people's conference in Poland. I'll never forget, a young sister went up to the mic and testified, she was from the Middle East, that she was meeting in secret with believers at the risk of her life. So her testimony never left me, and it definitely got the wheels turning in my heart toward the Lord, for the Lord, and this is how I started my college years. So by the Lord's mercy, I joined myself to be with the Christian students on campus and just began to enjoy being a normal Christian student on my campus. And it was during these years that the full-time training started coming up. To be honest, I didn't know what it was. I did know that when I was with the trainees, I I just saw something that I loved, was attractive. So I began to consider, because I felt that at that time, my biggest pull to go to the training was that my friends were going, and that I felt it was like the most appropriate next step. But I had a prayer to the Lord that He would work out His perfect will for me, and really lead me personally to the training. I didn't want to go just because. So I opened my considerations to the brothers, and I actually decided to go to work. And it was in going to work that the Lord made it very clear to me. I worked as an ER nurse, and I had patients, 13-year-olds, that what they needed was the Lord. I had patients of all ages, coworkers, and then I just began to see my friends and family. They needed the Lord, and although I had a heart, I was lacking the Christ that they needed. And it was in these experiences that I realized that I no longer only wanted to go to the training, but that I had a need to go to the training. Amen. So in the same way that I decided to be a nurse, I applied to nursing school and I was trained. If we mean business with the Lord and we have a heart to do His work, then we need to be trained. Amen. And I just appreciate that, brothers and sisters, now is the time. Amen. Grad school, that job, whatever it is, it's not going anywhere. It's still going to be there. We have a God that is speaking to this generation. Amen. And He's looking for people that will hear Him. Amen. So I just wanted to share that the Lord honored my prayer for His perfect will. And I believe that He personally called me to the training. And I really believe that He will personally call you to the training.
Amen. 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 Nydia really had a personal leading to go to the training. And she realized, even though she had a heart for the people around her, she realized how short she was. And so she was able to go to the training and now be trained to help minister Christ to these ones. Now Jessica will share her experience.
Hi, my name is Jessica. I graduated from UCLA. So my family touched the church life when I was in the sixth grade, and I was saved and baptized. But by the end of my junior high, my family stopped meeting. So I drifted into the world in high school and college, and I lived a godless life. I went on to work. I never asked the Lord for anything. I never prayed about anything. So while I was living in this godless society, I did financial planning, so I worked for about 4 years. I was living in this godless society in a godless age, working 100-plus hours a week, and I was enslaved and just obsessed with my worldly desires and ambition. And I was working with all these miserable millionaires who weren't happy with their lives. So my fourth year of working, I was walking down the street during a lunch break, and I run into a sister. And the conversation kept going, and she eventually invited me to a saint's home. When I stepped in, I saw people who weren't millionaires, but they were so happy and they were shining. And it just touched me so much. That day, I saw the contrast of people who lived a godless life and a godly life. So I wanted to have what they had. And I asked them, how do you guys live? What do you guys do? And they said, we read the Bible every day and we read the ministry every day. So that's what I started doing. I gave myself to read the Bible and the ministry every day. I can really say that the Lord, no one ever talked to me about the training. They never convinced me. They never explained it to me. I've never been there. But he told me clearly through the word. So one, I realized that I needed to know God to know this age. So when we know God, we see the true nature of this age. And we see our real condition. So in Matthew 6, the Lord told me that I can't have two masters. I can't serve God and I can't serve mammon. All these things that we have in our lives, whether it's bad or not, these are false gods and we can't worship them. And wherever our heart is, wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart is. As I continued to read the Bible began to renew my mind. I was freed from the enemy's usurpation, all of his lies and all of his deceiving. I realized that nothing under the sun was new, right? All these years, I had just been deceived by the enemy, and there was nothing else the world could offer me. And this is when I started having a desire to go to the training. But then I asked the question, is it really for everyone? You know, when should I go? Like, how should I go? Or should I work a little longer before I go? I found all of my answers in the Bible. I fellowshiped with the elders, but it wasn't just from the fellowship. I wasn't looking for outward signs. I wasn't looking for anything outward. I wanted the word. I wanted the speaking directly from the Lord. So when we are in the word and we're touching our spirit, the word becomes spirit and life, and the Lord has a direct way to speak to us. So in the end, I attended my very first semi-annual training in July of 2015. 2016. And there was a message on knowing God as God and worshiping His ways, just like the message that we had here. And I found out that God is sovereign. He doesn't owe me anything, and I'm not entitled to anything. In Isaiah 55, it says, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." You know, the world lies to us and says that you're not going to have a future after the training. What are you going to do? You know, you're going to be useless without a work experience. You need to build your resume. If you're listening to these lies, it shows that we're not trusting in His word. So in the end, when I decided to come to the training, that summer training was a final confirmation that I should go to the training. Because I had the word constituted in me, I had the strength to just reject everything else and drop my job and go. So in the end, you know, if you have the heart to follow the Lord, but you're not clear, you just ask the Lord, search my heart. You know, show me what you need to show me. And anyway, so I'm so happy, and it's such a privilege to be in the training. So 1 Peter 5:10 is actually my favorite verse. And as you guys know, if we're faithful to present ourselves to the Lord, He's faithful to meet us, and He's faithful to perfect us, establish us, strengthen us, and ground us. So if we want to turn this age, don't be a part of this age. We need to turn from the idols to serve the true and living God. And if you want to be useful to the Lord and fight in the Lord's army, come to the full-time training.
Amen. My name is Samson. I'm not here to give another testimony. Jessica was the last one. I graduated from the full-time training in 2015. But anyway, to follow up Jessica's testimony, I just appreciated that actually Jessica's experience just followed the burden of this college training this week, right? Jessica was saved from her living in seeing the godlessness of the age, of the life of people who were around her. And she came to the Word. She came to the Word, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right? So what can save us from this age is the Word.
Amen.
After this week's messages, right, are we all more desperate to know God, to see God, and to gain God?
Amen.
Well, there's a great way, is to know God through the Word.
Amen.
And we are all the serving ones, and those in your localities who have been to the training will all testify that the training, the full-time training, is a great way for us to know God and to be constituted with the Word. And I think we can all testify, and me personally as well can testify the long-lasting effect and the benefit from the full-time training, even for our Christian life and for our church life. So here I just wanted to give you all some information that you might be able to that might help you to get to know a little bit more about the training. So first thing I want to mention is that there's an official website, which is ftta.org. Some of you might already know, but anyway, if you go to the website, you can find out the purpose and goal of the training. Then it's also tell you the curriculum of the training. The admission requirements and some practical ways to prepare ourselves for the training. And I also wanted to highlight the two letters that is presented at the website. One letter is an open letter to the an open letter to all young people who aspire to participate in a full-time training in Anaheim. And another letter is a letter to graduating seniors. So I encourage you all to go to the website, and if you have not read through these two letters, with a prayerful spirit and get into these letters, I think it would be very helpful. And lastly, I just want to mention to those who are seniors who graduated, the deadline for to apply for this coming fall semester of the FTT8 has not passed yet. It's July 31st. So if the Lord is calling you, sweeping in your heart, even just a little bit, please quickly go fellowship with your serving ones and the responsible one in your localities. And pray and bring this matter to the Lord. And also want to mention that there is opportunity for those who are not graduating yet to attend the training short term, to have a first-hand enjoyment and participation in the full-time training. And we believe that a full-time training would be a great way for your young people to pour yourself as a love offering to the Lord. And the Lord will honor your consecration to be trained by Him, to gain Him, to know Him, to see Him, and to gain Him.
Amen.
Amen.
So at this moment, actually, we would like to give us all an opportunity to respond to this fellowship. I believe in this training and in this fellowship, particularly today, there may be something of the Lord calling us, some speaking regarding how we would become those who know, see, and gain God, to be critical, useful to the Lord to even end this age. So we don't want to just let this fellowship just pass through our ears and just fall to the ground. Maybe the Lord isn't calling you. Maybe the Lord isn't touching you. That's fine. You can still converse with the Lord regarding this. But maybe through this fellowship, maybe there is a little feeling. Maybe there might be a little speaking from the Lord. At that point, the question becomes, what are we going to do with this fellowship? What are we going to do with this calling? Will we let God be God, or will we take our own way? So we'd just like to give everybody, just in place, personally, by yourselves, just between you and the Lord, let's just take 2 minutes to respond to this fellowship according to however the Lord has spoken to us. So just right where you are, just close your eyes and open your heart and just pray to the Lord.